Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
He joins us live via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. He is the editor-in-chief and founder of Pro Football Talk, and he skips his lunch, pushes it back on Wednesdays for us. It is Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk on X. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Hey, I really made an exception yesterday, too. Pablo Torre of Pablo Torre Finds Out was available at noon Eastern for a podcast interview. I delayed my lunch by 45 minutes yesterday. I may have been getting the shakes by about 12:40.
We won't keep
you. Hold on, we got a mic problem.
Yeah, my bad. We won't keep you that long, Mike. I can promise you that. I am curious, though, about several things that have developed since the last time we talked to you. I guess we're still on Aaron Rodgers' watch, first off, and When is this going to end? When can you see this going until? Is there a deadline of some sort, or is this really a situation where it's just his world and Mike Tomlin's just happy to be along for the ride?
Well, I've used the metaphor for the past week or so now. The Steelers are the guy who is doing the big public proposal on a knee, holding the little box, opened up with the ring, and waiting and waiting and waiting and basically saying, take your time. No hurry. Whenever you want to let me know, we'll be good to go. Previously, Tomlin has said the line of demarcation is training camp. Recently, Art Rooney, the owner of the team, said they'll wait a little while longer. Look, Brett Favre didn't show up in Minnesota until halfway through August in 2009. And once he showed up and started throwing lasers all over the place, nobody cared. So I think Rodgers at some level is banking on the reality that when he shows up and he starts throwing passes that make a sound when they go by a guy's helmet that the guy's never heard before, they'll forget about everything that led up to that point. But it does put more pressure on Rodgers because if the Steelers struggle early this year, especially early, it'll be easy to say, you know, if he just would have been there, if he would have been committed, if he would have been locked in, if he would have been present, maybe we wouldn't have struggled to start the season. So I think the sooner he gets there, the better. And I kind of got a little animated about it on PFT Live today. Like, at some point, it becomes exhausting that he won't just tell people what he wants to do. He does this Q&A session at the Mike Studd concert, words that I never thought would come out of my mouth in that order. And he's being very coy about, you know, playing in Chicago and this, that, and everything. Just tell people what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do. Tell them.
Right. Yeah, he's getting too old for this stuff. Like, I mean, in terms of even his play. Like, I was thinking about that as we were just talking about that, Mike. Like, this feels like the Pittsburgh Steelers are better than this. Like, they're sort of playing on the level of Aaron Rodgers right now. It's kind of sad to see the Pittsburgh Steelers, as proud of a franchise as they are, looking desperate for the quarterback position. And, you know, this goes back, I mean, since Roethlisberger, they have been trying every year with different ideas to get the quarterback position right, and they haven't been able to do it. And this just feels, I don't know, it just feels yucky and desperate to me for the sake of the Steelers.
And desperation is the key. You know, after Terry Bradshaw retired, remember in 1983, they passed on Dan Marino, the local product. And can you imagine what the Steelers would have been with Dan Marino? But the thinking was, and Tony Dungy tells this story, that they didn't want to make things awkward with Terry Bradshaw at the end of his career, and Bradshaw ended up playing in a grand total of one more regular season game before he retired because of chronic elbow problems. So they missed out on Marino, and now they're trying to find the next guy after Ben Roethlisberger. It was 20 years from Bradshaw to Roethlisberger. Now we've got 3-4 years, and we're waiting for the next franchise quarterback, and they seem to be willing to do the deal, to sell their soul, to do whatever it takes to wait for Rodgers. And what you said about it's not something that Steelers usually do, there's a lot of fans that are upset with this. They don't think it properly reflects the status of the organization for the Steelers to act that desperate. And I think every time somebody says something, like Cam Hayward, when he said, a couple of months ago, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't. When Bradshaw throws, and it's a great insult, like chew on bark and whisper to the gods. It's just a great, I got to use chew on bark as often as I can. But there are fans who respond to that saying, yes, we don't want this. We don't want him. If he doesn't want to be here, we don't want him. He should be here by now. He shouldn't put us in the position that we're stuck on our knee, holding the box, flipped open, saying, please take the ring. Fans of the Steelers think that that organization is above that kind of desperation.
Well, also, given that this is a lot of what we observed during the, I guess, the original Brett Favre retirement dance, whatever you want to call it, when the news cycle was much simpler and it revolved around like him and Tiger Woods at the time, I feel like Rodgers remembers that very clearly. You know, Rodgers was the one waiting in the wings the whole time. And, you know, I've made several references to you, Mike, about the idea of Rodgers actually mirroring that as much as he possibly can. So I wouldn't be surprised if he waits that long until August to make any decision. And while that's also going on, you also have the piece that Kirk Cousins is still available if somebody wants to pony up for that contract, big if. But that's somebody who, if teams were desperate enough and had that kind of cap space or some sort of way to move around it, might also be able to do something. Like, both those things are still in play for me. We could be talking about both of these guys for a long time.
Oh, especially Cousins, because I think the best play for the Falcons is to not have him around. It's going to be a distraction. It makes things awkward. You want Michael Penix Jr. to take over that team. Cousins waits, stays in shape, and if and when there's a serious injury to a starting quarterback, then maybe somebody comes calling. We've seen it multiple times where a team loses its starter and becomes desperate and starts looking for anyone they can find, and Cousins may be that guy who is available if and when it happens this year. So it makes sense for him to not be there. It makes sense for the Falcons to move on. But it's Cousins right now as an alternative for the Steelers if Rodgers doesn't work out. And Rodgers has the power. The Steelers have given him the ability to take his time, the ability to make whatever demands he wants to make. They are so desperate. And by doing something they've never done before in trading for DK Metcalf and giving him a top-of-the-market receiver contract, they've never given a stranger to the team a market-value contract like the one they gave to DK Metcalf. It is so out of character for the Steelers, and I think it underscores how much power Rodgers has. He can dictate terms. He can say, I want to call the plays. He can say, I want to use my offense. Hell, he can say, I want Nathaniel Hackett to come with me. And I fully expect that they'll trade for Alan Lazard if and when Rodgers signs. So he's got that kind of power. And I also believe, you know, some would say, well, you can't say he's craving attention because he's not saying anything. No, he's not saying anything, but he's smart enough to know that not saying anything generates as much attention and speculation and discussion as if he were talking every single day.
Mike Florio, creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Mike, something you just posted to ProFootballTalk.com. I'm really curious about this. It's about the big, beautiful bill that's currently under consideration up on Capitol Hill, and that there is a big negative for NFL owners wrapped in this bill. What can you tell us about that? And I'm just curious as to your opinion if this is any level of payback, because we all know the history that Donald Trump has, of course, with the NFL.
Yeah, I quickly exhaust the limits of my legal knowledge when I talk about tax law, something I never knew anything about. But the new bill, which some call, you know, tax break for billionaires, it's got a provision in there that cuts in half the available write-off for what we call intangible assets, which, bottom line, it's picking the pockets of future owners to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And even though it doesn't affect the current owners, it will drive the price down for owners who otherwise would have had that tax break available to them. And there's a mention in the New York Times report that last week when the owners got together in Minneapolis, they were told to call their senators to try to lobby against this because it's passed the House. It hasn't passed the Senate yet. And there is this speculation that it's part of the very delicate dance that's happening between 345 Park Avenue and 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And you see a lot of just very careful, no sudden moves. Don't say anything to get the attention of an executive order. The NFL is being very, very careful about the Rooney Rule and other DEI efforts because we know how the White House feels about that. So, yeah, is this an effort by the president to stick it to the NFL? Well, it's affecting all sports owners, and it goes against what has been this desire to help out the really rich and reduce their tax burden. So it's something to monitor, and we'll see whether or not the Senate is able to write it out of the bill and if it makes its way into what ultimately will be signed by the president.
Mike, you talked to Pablo Torre about the Bill Belichick saga episodes. What's a good word for this?
It's a
confusion.
Now.
Whatever the hell's going on.
Yeah, like the if I'm a recruit at North Carolina, I'm really wondering what I'm doing with my summer and my fall situation.
It is an amazing story because I think if you were going to make a list of all of the people who have ever coached in the NFL, top to bottom, as most likely to least likely to create this kind of a distraction for his program, Bill Belichick would have been at the very bottom of the list. And the fact that it feels like there are active efforts to cover things up and play a PR game that may or may not be rooted in any truth whatsoever, it's chum in the water for curious journalistic minds that want to get to the truth. And the harder they work to conceal the truth, the more adamant people like Pablo Torre become in getting to the truth. And Friday is a key date. He told me yesterday that he's got some pending public records requests because North Carolina is a public institution. The emails sent and received by the employees are fair game for public disclosure. And if Belichick wanted to avoid that, he should have gone to work for Duke, which is a private institution. But that's all out there. And Torre is owed documents on Friday, and he said if he doesn't get them, if there's a failure to comply with the legal obligation, he'll do what's necessary to get it. So there could be litigation initiated by Torre against North Carolina to try to get these documents if North Carolina fails to provide public records that Torre believes he's entitled to. So this thing is just going to keep going and going, and at some point there's going to be a football game to be played, and I feel like that there will be developments that we haven't even contemplated that will unfold as the summer approaches the start of the college football season.
How absolutely ludicrous to put stress on a state budget by even more than a cent to try to fight a Freedom of Information Records Act request about correspondence regarding Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson.
And it's clear that they're obsessed with controlling the narrative. Look at our story where Channing Crowder, one of the three hosts of the Pivot podcast, accidentally told the truth about the extent to which she choreographed Belichick's interview by Ryan Clark a couple of weeks ago. And now Crowder's out there publicly apologizing, and Ryan Clark is saying she didn't choreograph the interview and then explaining what happened in a way that, when you see what was done, somebody sure choreographed that interview. So the whole thing is just strange. The level of control is incredible. And June 1 is a key date because that's when Bill Belichick's price tag for walking away drops from $10 million to $1 million. And I believe that gives him power. And he can say to North Carolina, I want this, I want that, or else I'm walking and you're going to be stuck and you're not going to have a coach to deliver on the season tickets you've sold out and the unprecedented interest in your football program. And all I have to do is write this check and I'm gone. So I think it could get more interesting and more compelling once he has that hammer of the ability to say to UNC, I'm out of here if you don't give me what I want.
I think this just reminds me that maybe I've been asking guys like you, Mike Florio, and other NFL experts the wrong question, because I keep asking, is Bill Belichick ever going to coach in the NFL again? And a lot of people say, no, no way, ain't going to happen. Is he going to make it through this season as the head coach at North Carolina?
I believe right now he's determined to do it, and he's not going to walk away, and he is going to coach the team. But to the extent that any of the stories we've seen and the reporting that's been done would suggest that she's got some kind of strange control over him, right? If she says, Bill, let's go, we're leaving, what's he going to say? Because she seems to be doing everything else that she tells him to do. If she decides that they're leaving North Carolina for other opportunities, other avenues. You know, she already reportedly was offered Dancing with the Stars, but she can't do it because it's during football season. Well, if he's not coaching during football season, that opens up a whole new universe of time available for her to do whatever she wants. She's clearly the wild card in all of this going forward. And if she says we're leaving, it sure seems like, based upon everything we've seen, that he's going to say okay, and off he's going to go.
Yeah, well, that's a good excuse, either if you have a job or you possibly can't dance. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not saying that you can't, just that that would be a great excuse to be like, oh yeah, I've got you know, this thing to do. Like, you could use any season as an excuse, theoretically. Oh, it's the NBA playoffs. Oh, it's baseball season. Yeah, we could come up with quite a few, Mike, as we tend to do. Mike Florio, thank you so much for joining us. Mike from Pro Football Talk and on the Circus Sports Hotline. Thanks again.
Have a great week.
See, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. I do think that's hilarious. Oh, I can't do it because it's football season.
I mean, I get it.
I can't do it because it's professional lacrosse season.
She's got, if she's doing that, who's watching Bill Belichick? Who's controlling?
Theoretically, himself.
Come on, we're going.
We're past that. That doesn't happen anymore. That's what we've learned through this whole process, through these episodes.
The real wild card, too, and this has been reported here and there, probably something for a later show, is that the guy who has been very public and used to appear as a guest on our station regularly is Michael Lombardi. And he was always his consigliere. He was his right-hand man. He's the executive arm to all of this. And he has been mysteriously quiet. And if you've ever heard Mike talk, whether it's on this station, whether it's in other interviews on YouTube or whatever, that man is not afraid to speak his mind.
No, he's told us the previous two quarterbacks to Caleb Williams weren't going to work.
Correct.
And before anybody else.
His silence in all of this is very concerning because it is a deliberate action right now on his part. So that's something that I think will also, it's starting to percolate now, and I'm glad because I had asked that question just to myself in my private sports.
Get him
thoughts.
On the blower right now, Ray. Let's get him on.
Oh, yeah. Let's get Michael. Yeah. When nobody else has gotten Michael Lombardi. And extend Kyle Tucker. I'm just going to keep doing this. What about PCA? Yeah. We could have yelled that on the microphone.
Oh, what about Stanks?
We could have yelled, what about Danks?
Hey, he got paid, man. You know, what about Danks? Nothing. Danks got paid. Yes,
absolutely.
He did.
We didn't have to ask about Danks at that point. What other things we could have asked at the time? Like, there was a pay Allen Robinson movement for a while.
Yeah,
we could have revisited that.
Pay Allen Robinson. Pay everybody.
How could
pay
you
everybody.
Give $5 million to Hideki Arabu? That line lives rent free in my head.
Guys,
rent free.
It's not my money. There is no salary cap. Pay them all.
Yeah. See, you could have said
that
yesterday.
Too. Pay them all.
Like, that's the real question is if you had the opportunity, what would you have said?
We did have the opportunity.
You know what?
We wish Pat Hughes a happy birthday. We sang on a key that made sense for the crowd. We did the right thing. We were team players.
You know what I'm looking forward to hearing is what Ian Happ has to say when he comes in here. I'm going to have him fully evaluate you two, to be completely honest.
I did have some moles in the Cubs clubhouse. He made sure that they knew they needed to judge.
One of them,
I actually will save this for the next segment, even though we're going to talk Bears. One of them we are big fans of on this show. Big fans.
Somebody who was watching and judging.
Yeah, and is a part of the Cubs crew. So
okay.
I'll leave you with that. Albert Breer and SI came out with an article that we all believe is a response to the Seth Wickersham article that is a preview of the book that he's coming out with in September. So that is next. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody and a bunch of awesome people at Brickhouse Tavern.
What's up?
Here
in
with
Brick
us
House?
On the Score. So that's coming up next. Hang with us.